Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God is good. Amen. All the time, God is good, huh? You guys believe that today? Huh? You believe that today? Great. Great.
Well, let's open the Word of God. We haven't opened the Word of God yet today. To Numbers chapter 27. It's towards the beginning of the Bible. I know it's one of those ones you usually skip over because it's just about a census, right? So why read that? It's just a bunch of numbers. But we're going to start Numbers 27, verses 1 through 11. If you have a phone, go ahead and use your phone. I know you got a Bible on your phone. Go ahead and use it. All right, and this is what the Word of God says. Numbers 27, verses 1 through 11. The daughters of Zelophehad, son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, belonged to the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of the daughters were Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. They came forward and stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, and the leaders and the whole assembly at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and said, "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among Korah's followers who banded together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and left no sons. So why should our father's name disappear from his clan because he had no son? Give us property among our father's relatives." Verse 5, "So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord said to him, 'What Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives, and give their father's inheritance to them. Say to the Israelites, if a man dies and leaves no son, give his inheritance to his daughter. If he has no daughter, give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, give his inheritance to his father's brothers. If his father has no brothers, give his inheritance to the nearest relative in his clan, that he may possess it. This is to have the force of law for the Israelites, as the Lord commanded Moses.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's open in prayer. I know we've prayed a lot, but let's just pray one more time. God, you are truly good. And we come here in your midst, God, just to sing of how good you are in our lives, to give you worship, to give you praise. God, to meet with our fellow brothers and sisters, to set this time aside, to set it apart, so God, you can do something good. So God, right now we pray that you would show up, that you would speak, that my words would fall to the ground, yours would go forth, because God, we really need a good word from you. God, we really need your word. So God, please speak. Praise in your name. Amen. So my name's Justin, and I'm the youth pastor here at this church. And I'm going to apologize even right now, like I'm probably not going to look over there very much, so just accept my apology now, please. Just because it's, you know. Anyway, all right, fine. My name's Justin. I'm the youth pastor here at this church. And I've been here for 5 years, and it's been just a treat. God's been so good to me and to my wife here at this church. And we've just loved being here, and we love the culture of this core. We love the Salvation Army. We love this church. And so I've been here 5 years, and it's just been an amazing treat. So thank you guys for giving us the opportunity to host today. But also giving me the opportunity to share from God's word. Today, what I want to do is I'm going to just lay out an argument for the following questions, all right? So you're going to stay with me because I'm going to give you this is a one-point sermon, but it's going to take me a while to get there because I got to set it up, right? But it's a one-point sermon, all right? So everyone's like, whoo, right? And then that 3 points of one-point sermon. But today, I want to lay out an argument for the following questions. What is justice? Why do we do justice? And why should we be people of justice? All right, that's what we're going to try to talk about today. And I love talking about justice. I love talking about justice. First of all, because I'm a Salvationist. Amen? And the Salvation Army has a great heritage of justice work. We have a great heritage of working for God's justice in this world, for caring for the poor, for looking after the sick, visiting those in prison. We have an amazing heritage of justice. And as a salvationist, I love to talk about justice. I love to talk about justice. It's what we do. It's who we are. But I also love to talk about justice as a Christian, because as a Christian, it's who we are and it's what we do. We're people of justice. That's what we're called to do and called to be in this world. I also love to talk about justice because my name means man of justice. Wow, what a name, huh? What a name. If you guys are looking for names, you know, to name your children someday, Justin's a great name. It's a great name. It's a great name. It's a great name. It's a great name. Man of justice. Courtney, my wife's name, Courtney, means of the court. Ooh, what a great name, of the court. We have justice names. We have law names. Me and Courtney, man, God couldn't have put together a better couple or a more good-looking couple. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yeah, all right, amen. Anyway, so we are people of justice. I am man of justice. She is woman of the court. Beautiful. I also love to talk about justice because the word tells us that Jesus is going to come to judge, right? The word tells us that that's who Jesus is, that one of his roles is that he is a judge. He does what is just. He does what is right. He weighs the facts and decides the truth. He is a judge. And I also love to talk about justice because all people of God are called to be people of justice. Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." What does God require of you? To be just. To be just. Now, what the heck does that even mean? That's the question today. What does that mean for us to be just? Now, what is justice? A dictionary definition of justice is to be guided by truth to do what is morally right. To be guided by truth and to do what is morally right. So imagine with me a courtroom, right? You have the judge up there sitting in the front, and the judge, his or her role is to weigh the facts and make the right decision based on the truth, right? The truth decided by the facts and by the law. So based on the law and based on the facts, the judge needs to make a claim on what is true and what is right. That is the dictionary definition. But when we look at the biblical definition of what justice is, you gotta start with God. You gotta start with God when you're talking about what is justice. Because God tells us time and time again that he is a God of justice. It is who he is. It's part of his character is that he is a God of justice. Let me prove it to you. Isaiah 30:18, "For the Lord is a God of justice." Psalm 37:27, "Turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever, for the Lord loves justice." Isaiah 61:8, "For the Lord loves justice. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong." He is just. It's who he is. It defines him. We got to start with that. So if we want to know what justice is, we got to look to God because he is just. He is just. Definition starts with God. As we continue to look at the biblical definition of justice, we see that justice is the punishment of wrongdoing and the keeping of rights. It's giving people what they are due, either punishment or protection. So based on the truth, based on the facts, based on what you've done, what people have done, and what they believe, you will receive punishment or protection. That is justice. But at the end of the day, biblical justice is this. Biblical justice is upholding God's standard of truth and morality. Upholding God's standard of truth and morality. It's essentially whatever God deems as right and wrong. What God deems as right and wrong, we are called to uphold that, and that is justice. As God's people, we have a moral obligation to uphold God's standard of justice. Are you with me so far? Everybody do a big nod. Okay. Okay, somebody's doing this. That's okay. Stay with me, right? So as people of God, as God's people, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who's come to the world to save mankind, if you believe that he died for your sins, if you believe that he is the Son of God, if you've crossed over from death into life, you are God's people, you are God's child, and you now have a moral obligation to uphold his standard in this world. Moral obligation as a child of God to uphold the will of the Father. And as God's people, we have to uphold the moral obligation of God's standard in relationship to three things: in relationship to individuals, to groups, and to creation. We have to uphold God's standard of relationship and justice to individuals, meaning we have to say, how are individual people being treated? Are their rights being met? So you have to look to individuals and say, are these individuals, are you receiving your rights? Are you being treated the way you should be treated? Are you being treated with the rights given to you as a child of God, as a creation of God? We also must ask ourselves if we are upholding the standard of justice to groups. We need to look at who is being overlooked, which groups are being overlooked, which groups don't have rights, which groups are being treated unjustly. But we also must look to who is perverting justice and perverting power. What groups are using power to corrupt and to act unjustly? We must also uphold we must uphold God's standard in our relationship to creation. We have to care for all created things. It's a justice issue as well. Now, in the Salvation Army, we used to talk a whole lot about justice. We used to talk a whole lot about justice. In fact, even maybe 10 years ago, you couldn't go to a conference or a youth gathering without hearing about justice. In fact, that's why we have homeless shelters, and that's why we have emergency disaster services, and that's why we have the Adult Rehabilitation Center. It's why we have social services. It's why we do food baskets at Christmas. It's why we give gifts, because we are people of justice, because we want to do what's right. We want to uphold the moral standard. But for some reason, I haven't heard justice being talked about very often recently. I haven't heard it been talked about, especially among young people. Y'all don't talk about justice. And I think maybe you think it's not our job. Maybe you think it's not the church's job to uphold justice. I'm about to prove you wrong. Or maybe you think it's the government's job to uphold justice. I'm going to prove you wrong again. I don't hear justice talked about very often, but does that mean it's less important? Absolutely not. There are justice issues all around us that need to be addressed. Homosexuals are treated like second-class citizens. The undocumented are given no rights in our country. The prison and judicial systems are completely corrupt and broken. And even this Powerball nonsense, gambling preys upon the poor and prolongs cycles of poverty. There's injustice all around us, guys, everywhere. And as followers of God, it is our responsibility to uphold God's standard. Now let's look at God's word. You might be like, why did he read that weird passage about those girls? Like, that's weird, right? Now, I love this passage. I love this passage. These girls are amazing. These women, amazing women. I'd love to go through this passage and talk about everything I love. I just don't have time, so I'm going to give you like real quick bullet points. I'd love to talk about how this passage shows the equality between men and women. I'd love to talk about how this passage is an argument for feminism. I'd love to talk about how it's amazing that these women were bold enough to stand up for the truth. I'd love to talk about how these women are presented as interpreters of the law and biblical scholars. I'd love to talk about all that, but I don't have time. Okay, so what we are going to talk about, remember I have one point. What we are going to talk about You're like, man, this is the longest point I've ever heard. We're just starting, my friends. So in this passage, the situation seems to be really important. The situation seems to be really important because the Bible talks about this four times. So the Bible talks about this issue and these women four times. These five amazing women, Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Obviously, there's something really important about their issue because it comes up so often. Now, women in ancient Israel were seen as second-class citizens. They had less rights than men, and in fact, were always under man. A woman received her rights from her father, or if she was married, she received her rights from her husband. If her father died and she didn't have a husband, she would receive her rights from her brother. If she didn't have a brother, she would have no rights. So from this passage, an amazing thing that we see in this passage is that God reveals the law to Moses. All right, stay with me. Remember way back in Sunday school, remember, right? So the people are in Egypt and they're in slavery, right? And then Moses comes, he's like, let my people go, and then all that stuff happens, and then finally they go through the Red Sea, and they're in the wilderness for 40 years, right? They're in the wilderness for 40 years, and while they're in the wilderness, God gives them this law. He gives this law to Moses, and then Moses shares the law with the people, and the law lays out what God thinks is right, and what God thinks is just. This law becomes God's standard of justice. This is the standard. But these women hear the law that Moses gives them, and it doesn't sit right with them. Something's not right. It doesn't sit right. It seems so unfair. It seems so unfair that they would be homeless, landless, and left out just because they didn't have a brother and their dad died. It's so unfair. And so the women ask, is this actually just? They go to Moses and they say, is this actually just? Is this right? This isn't fair. And so they go. And they share with Moses. So Moses takes their question to God. He asks God and says, hey, they say this isn't fair. What do you say, God? He's like, you know what? They're right. They're right. They should receive the land. And so from then on, women would receive the land if they had no father or no brother. Now, what's truly amazing about this passage is that these women had enough faith to ask. The remarkable thing about this is that these laws were given in anticipation for coming into the promised land. Now, stay with me. This is really important. They're not in the promised land yet, right? They're still in the wilderness. They're in the wilderness. And God says, when you get to the promised land, you will get land. And these women are like, hey, why aren't we going to get some land? But they're not in the promised land yet. They're still in the wilderness. Why do they care? They don't need to care yet. What we see from these women is their faith to step up and ask even before they enter the promised land. That's how much faith these women had. They had so much faith that they were asking God about the future now. Are you guys still with me? You still with me a little bit? Still with me a little bit? We're going to keep going on this topic. But they had so much faith that they were willing to stand up for justice now. They were concerned about dividing up what they did not yet have, but knew that they would possess by faith. They knew they would possess it by faith. So what does this mean for us? God's word tells us that we need to be people of justice. Let me prove it to you once more. Isaiah 1:17, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. James 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Psalm 106:3, blessed are those who observe justice, who do righteousness all the time. Deuteronomy 16:20, Justice and only justice you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So why do we do justice? Now, if I were to ask you guys, why do we do justice? I think that I would hear three answers. Three main answers is what I'd hear. First of all, if I ask you, why do you do justice? You, why do you do justice? You would answer very honestly and you would say, we don't. I don't. And I think that that's where most of us are. Most of us don't do anything for other people. Look at your heart. Be real honest. You care about yourself. We don't do justice. Even though God's word tells us we should be doing justice. Even though I just read 15 verses talking about do justice, do justice, do justice. I love justice. You should be doing justice. I'm a God of justice. Why aren't you doing justice? We still don't do justice. It's just honest. We don't. I know in the Korean American church, we are so good at reading the Bible. We are so good at praying. We can pray all day. This meeting, you guys think this meeting is long? You have no idea. We just had a retreat with 6-hour meetings, no joke. Like, we are hardcore. We know how to pray. But what are we doing in our community for others? It's challenging. Why do we do justice? We don't. We're missing the point. Some of you, if I ask you, why do you do justice? You might say, well, because we're supposed to, right? Well, that answer is lame, all right? The answer is lame. Of course we're supposed to, but that doesn't work for me. Like, why, though? Why? Because we're supposed to. That's not an answer. Like, why? And then some of you would say, well, like, why do we do justice? Well, because God tells us to. His word tells us to. Yeah, but why? Why? These answers aren't good for me. They're not good enough. So I'm going to give you an answer. Here's my one-point sermon, all right? I'm going to give you an answer. It's not the only answer, but it's a answer of why we do justice. And I think that if we can hold on to this, if we can hold on to this truth, it'll transform how we do justice, it'll transform why we do justice, and it might even change the way our churches look if we actually follow through on this, if we do. I hope you do. I'm praying for you. Why do we do justice? Because we are living out a promise that has not yet come. All right, you might be like, "Woo, that's very anticlimactic, Justin, a very anticlimactic answer." But stay with me. The reason we do justice is because we are living out a promise that has not yet come. All right? When we become Christians, when we get saved, we become people of the kingdom of God. The word tells us that our citizenship is now in heaven. We are new creations. The old is gone. The new has come. We have crossed over from death to life. We are made brand new. And eternity starts now because we've crossed over from death into life, into real life. We've crossed over. We are now living a new reality. We are now living as people of the kingdom of God. We are now governed by a different set of rules because we're now governed by the rules and the law of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are transformed. We're new. And yet, we live in this tension. We live in this tension, and the best way that theologians can describe this tension is already not yet, all right? It's confusing, but stay with me. We live in this tension. So we live in already, the kingdom is already here, right? Jesus brought the kingdom. It's here. He instituted the kingdom. He says, look around. The kingdom's all around you in people's hearts. The kingdom's here. Jesus told, you know, many, many parables about the kingdom and how it's here. It's here. The kingdom is here. We have a king. He is victorious. Amen. We have a king. It's already here. But the kingdom is not yet fully realized. It's not yet fully here. The Bible tells us that when Jesus returns, he will fully institute the kingdom. So we live in this tension. We live in this tension between the already and the not yet. We live in this tension between the kingdom already being here, but not yet being fully realized. So, because we live in this tension, when we do acts of justice, we are really doing acts of faith. When we do acts of justice, we're really doing acts of faith, because what we're saying is we know that God will fulfill his promises. We know that the kingdom is real. We know that things will one day be different, and we know that the kingdom will one day be fully realized, and so we're living into that reality now. So, why do we combat modern-day slavery? Why do we stand up for justice when it comes to the slaves of this world? Because there's no slavery in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Why do we fight racism? There's no racism in the kingdom of God. Why do we fight for equality between men and women? Because there's equality in the kingdom of heaven. When we do these things, we are really saying that we are living out these truths now because we believe one day the kingdom will come. We've not yet fully entered the kingdom in the same way as these women did not enter the promised land, and yet they still had faith for the things that would come when they entered. By being people of justice, we are living out a greater reality now, a reality that God has won. As citizens of the kingdom, we are held to a different standard, to God's standard of justice and truth. Now, the Salvation Army has a wonderful heritage of justice. And I just want to share with you a couple stories, just to get your brain working. Of what the Salvation Army has done throughout history, because we have an awesome heritage of justice. And I'm going to read so that I stay on task here. But I want to share with you one of the coolest stories that I've ever heard. And I've heard this story my whole life, so it's probably not new to many of you. But I want you just to remember what the Salvation Army has done. In 1891, William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, bought a factory in Old Ford, London. He fitted it with large windows and wash basins, installed machinery, and set people to work making safety matches. During the latter part of the 19th century, many workers, mostly women, in the matchmaking industry suffered from necrosis, also known as Fossey jaw. This form of bone cancer was caused by contact with poisonous material used for the match heads. The sides of their faces would turn green and then black and then discharged a foul-smelling pus before they died. Young girls carrying boxes of matches on their heads, selling them in the marketplaces, were bald by age 15. A new non-toxic substance had been invented by the Swedes, but the rate of take-up in England had stalled. So, William Booth and the Salvation Army became matchmakers. Booth's matchboxes carried the banner Lights in Darkest England. He found agents all over the country to sell them. He urged people everywhere to shun using poisonous matches for the sake of the workers. His competitors felt the pressure and began producing safety matches themselves, and necrosis was completely wiped out from England. Guys, this is our heritage. This is our heritage. Seeing something that's terrible in the world, seeing something that can be addressed, and doing something to change it. The matchmakers only cared about money. They didn't care about their workers. The Salvation Army stepped up and said, "This is not right. This is unjust." This still happens today in the Salvation Army. As I alluded to earlier, human trafficking in our world is still very prevalent, and it's modern-day slavery. In fact, there are 27 million slaves in the world today. Approximately 800,000 to 900,000 people are trafficked across international borders every year, and about 15,000 people are trafficked into the United States each year. And roughly 80% of those who are trafficked are women and children. And this is happening in our own backyard. It's happening right here in Chicago. And the Salvation Army heard about it, and they said, this is not right. This shouldn't be happening. And so they started a program. I love this program. It's called Stop It. Oh, I love it. Stop It! Guys, you have the right, as people of the kingdom, to look at injustice and say, stop it. Did you know that?
You do.
Because we're upholding a different standard. Anyway, I would love to see somebody go up to like something unjust and just say, Joe, stop it. Be amazing. Not to Joe. He didn't do anything wrong. And so the Salvation Army started this program called Stop It. And what they do is they go out into the community and they meet people who have either been trafficked or are in a situation to where they might be trafficked. They work with sex workers. They work with people who are maybe undocumented, people who are in these difficult situations, and they help them get out. They work with them to bring them into a place of safety, a place of love. Man, that's our heritage, guys. This is the Salvation Army. This is the heritage of the Salvation Army and of the church. And so the question comes to us. I know you feel like I've been preaching for a real long time, and so just a couple more minutes. Stay with me just a couple more minutes. The question is, so what can we do? What can we do? What do we do? All right? The first thing that you can do if you want to live a life of justice is you got to live like you're living eternity. Amen. Your eternity, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe what he preaches, if you believe he is the Son of God, if you believe he and only he is the source of salvation, the Bible tells us that we have crossed over from death to life. You are alive. You are living life. Eternal life starts for you as soon as you are saved. You're living your eternity. We got to live like we're in heaven. Are there drugs and addiction in heaven? Absolutely not. So why are you guys messing around with drugs? Is there impurity in heaven? Absolutely not. Why are you tainting your bodies? Is there greed and stealing in heaven? Is there cursing and belittling in heaven? Is there slavery in heaven? Absolutely not. You got to live like what you are. And you are children of the King. Amen. You got to live like what you are. You got to uphold that standard. The second thing, what can you do if you want to live a life of justice? You got to understand God's desires for his people. You got to understand God's desires for his people. Guys, if you do not love the word of God, there's nothing I can do for you. I can preach up here all night till I'm blue in the face. If you don't read God's word, if you don't study God's word, if you don't love God's word, if you don't take it in, if you don't eat it and know it and meditate on it, there's nothing I can do for you, nothing we can do for you. You got to love God's word. You got to be in God's word. You got to read his word, guys, because you got to know what God desires of his people. God knows his word. What else can you do? You can point out injustices that you see. We do this by being aware. You got to read. You got to go to meetings. You've got to talk to people. You got to ask questions. You got to know what's going on in your world and in your backyard. You got to know. You got to be aware. When you're confronted with injustice, ask yourself, what does God think about this? Do you guys ever do that? I do that all the time. When something comes into my life, I think, oh, I wonder what God would think about this. You can also ask your question, what can I do? And what should the church be doing? We need to point out injustices that we see. We can do this by partnering with other justice ministries, by caring for those around us. Guys, the truth is, my one point, when you do justice, you are living out a future reality. That's the point. Hope you hold on to that. Hope you hold on to that. Because some of us, we don't do justice because we think like, oh, you know, one day the world's going to be wiped away and we're going to go to heaven, no problem. Read the Bible again, guys. Read the Bible again. God calls us to act justly now. To care now. To be citizens of the kingdom. And when we do that, we live lives of faith. The church needs you to address justice issues. We need you. I need you. I need you. I need you. We need you. The Salvation Army needs you. To address the injustices in this world. Now what we're going to do is we're just going to take 2 minutes just of silence. I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes. And this is not a time of prayer with friends or anything like that. This is just a time for reflection. If you need to pray, go ahead and pray. But what I'd like this time to be is just for 2 minutes, reflect. And ask yourself, am I living a life of justice? Or am I only thinking about myself? Am I partnering with God to address the injustices of this world? Am I living out the kingdom? What else can I do to live out my faith in the coming kingdom? Let's just reflect. If you need to pray, pray. If not, just reflect. Look at your own heart. Just for a couple minutes, let's reflect. Now what we're going to do is, we're not going to move, but just with the people right around you, we're just going to have a time of discussion, just a short discussion of what issues in the world has God put on your heart to address? What justice issues are you really thinking about, are you really passionate about? If you're not sure about that, maybe you could just share, you know, what you heard from up here, what you heard, what stuck out to you. But right now what I want is I want us to be talking, I want us to be thinking with one another. So just with those around you, just groups of two or three, maybe just grab one person next to you. And let's just discuss, So grab somebody next to you and just for 3 minutes we're going to discuss. I want to hear lots of talking, all right? I want to hear lots of talking. Just discuss. What justice issues are on your heart? What have you heard? What justice issues should you be addressing in this world? Just grab someone right next to you, let's talk.